Gavin, I think I explained the context in which this this interview is supposed to be. I'm due to give a presentation in Berlin to BSIG in a few weeks' time, and my intention there is actually it's a very simple aim. I want to try to get people to see that the Second Life is nothing to be frightened of or suspicious of, because I found that many people are, in the educational world, I mean. Is that your experience too?
I think, actually, it's more a case of, you work a lot with technology, I think you find that people are naturally suspicious of every new big thing, in a way. I mean, this takes me back to the days when I first got access to the internet in the mid-90s, and I tried convincing people that this was going to be a big thing, and a lot of people were very sceptical, and a lot of people were sceptical about getting email and things like that. And I think it's a natural progression, particularly perhaps in our profession, which may be a little bit more conservative than others, and I think we do tend to take our time, quite rightly, to look at technological tools as they come along and actually figure out whether they're going to be useful or not. So maybe it's a very positive thing that people are taking their time and not simply jumping on the bandwagon. Yeah. But I think it's fairly obvious to me, at least with the dealings I have with the educational community in Second Life, that this is a pretty big thing, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, that it's obvious to people like you and even to me that there is a big educational community in Second Life. I still come into contact, perhaps more socially, but nonetheless, and I should add in Germany, because that might be important, with people who say things like, oh, Second Life, isn't that where the German police found those child pornographers? And people either, so many people claim, well, yes, I've heard of Second Life, but I can't manage my First Life. Or then there's another group that say, well, I have been there into Second Life, and I can see that that I could get obsessed by it, so I'm leaving it alone. So there's this sort of fear and suspicion, but that may be a rather German thing, I don't know.
Okay, well, I'm not sure it is. I mean, if we have a look at those things you've mentioned, yes, I think there was one case where the German police found, from German police or other police, finding examples of child pornography in real life and in other aspects of the internet. That doesn't necessarily mean that we shouldn't be using the internet to teach, and so it doesn't really mean, I don't think, that we shouldn't be using Second Life to teach. But as Second Life does have such a diverse community, I think it's inevitable that all facets of human life will be mirrored in Second Life. What I think most educators would say is that's why we provide educational environments in which people can move with relative safety. In terms of, I think your second point was time management and not getting sucked into it. I obviously, like any other tool, when I first started with Second Life, I spent perhaps way too much time in it, but I do think that also to acquire the experience, which means you can then take that knowledge and mould it to your own professional use. So I think this is fairly immersive, and it does take a little bit of time, more time than it would take, for example, to make a podcast. But I do think the investment is worth it. With regards to the educational community, the Second Life Educators mailing list has nearly 3,000 members now, and it only started a year ago. So if you compare that to the development of other mailing lists I'm on, I think you'll see that that's a fairly exponential growth. So obviously there is something in it, or at least a large percentage, a large proportion of educators think there is.
As you may or may not remember, I'm personally convinced. I began rather sceptically, and remember arguing on lists even with you that you know, could this really be as useful as people were making out? And I have swung right around now, which amuses me slightly. But anyway, I don't want to dwell on this background, as I think of it, the context in which I had the idea of this interview. What I have found still rather surprising is that it's rather difficult to find many examples of language teaching taking place on Second Life. I remember that on one of these lists, you wrote a few weeks or months ago that it was true that at the moment, whenever that moment was, not too much was going on in, let's say, TFL, but that you predicted that over the next 12 months or so, it would begin to be used much more, especially when sound arrived. How do you see the situation today?
Yeah, I think I actually remember that conversation with you, which was, like, I believe, at the beginning of the summer. Mm. And I think things have changed a little bit since then, and I'll give you some concrete examples of things that are happening. But let's just start with the voice question. Obviously, the implementation of synchronous voice was a very important factor for language educators. Without it, we were basically stuck with text chat. And so I think that was a defining moment, and that actually happened late summer, finally. So that's still a relatively recent addition, but I think it has made a difference. Let me give you some examples of what's happening. I think one of the biggest innovations in Second Life is Language Lab, which is languagelab.com. And they're currently going through very, very extensive trials of a 12-island complete immersive environment for language education. I know at the moment they're doing trial classes with sample students. They're also training up their teachers. But I had a guided tour of their facility a couple of months back, and it really is fantastic. And there are all sorts of different environments, hotels and cinemas, business complexes, etc., which take in a wide variety of possible language interactions. And I do think that's an interesting project. There's another guy working in Latin America who's running a company called Avatar English, and he's also just starting with classes in Second Life. Those are two more commercial ventures, but then we also have a couple of non-commercial ventures, or at least non-commercials on a weekly basis, and the other one is English Village.
Yeah, sorry, I wasn't sure if that was a real pause or...
To your teachers.
Sorry, it wasn't. Yes, there's a bit of time lag sometimes, a bit difficult. Yes, it's good. I've heard of those three, and I've made contact with people in teaching or about to teach in one or two or three of them. Very often, this is not a criticism, really, it's just a description of the state of the art. I find that people are sort of building things up, and therefore it's a little bit difficult to actually see any teaching and learning going on. Or, of course, there is this... I hate synchronicity. You know, this is real time you're dealing with, and lots of people seem to teach my time at about 3 o'clock in the morning.
Right. I think, I mean, obviously, one of the things is that this is a global community, tended to happen at, you know, in the middle of the night for people on Central European time, as two of us are. But the demographics are shifting quite quickly, and I think recently, as far as I remember reading, the European community has overtaken the American community. Mm. And so I expect to see a lot more classes and events that's happening around our time. It's always an issue, of course. We're just launching a series of teacher trainings for everybody.
Sorry for the pauses. There's a bit of a hiccup.
But I think you're right. That was certainly an issue, but I think perhaps it's changed.
Perhaps what I'm going to ask you is a little bit obvious.
Do you want to exit real life and maybe redial and carry on?
Yeah, good idea. Mm. Yeah, we'll do.
Okay.
Hello.
Okay, so Skype is the only thing I have running on my internet connection now. Yeah. So maybe we'll get rid of that lag. Anyway, sorry to interrupt, please.
No. Yes, the sound has improved dramatically now. Well, there was a sort of time delay, which made it very difficult to know whether to carry on or wait. You know, but. You know, it's like this. At least I think that I've noticed with people like the webheads and people who work a lot on and with the internet, things of this kind going wrong, I mean, that's what happens. And people don't get too put out. I think it's very important and very helpful. Even people making presentations end up doing slightly different things because the technology wouldn't cooperate.
Yeah. I think we're an adaptable bunch, and that comes from a few years' experience with using technology. Yeah. You know, we know how to deal with the problems that come along potentially.
I was about to try and ask you, although it may be a rather simple question, thinking particularly of the people who are still a little bit sceptical. What to you are some of the obvious advantages of using Second Life for teaching and learning foreign languages, especially TEFL?
I have to just as a small caveat. I mean, I'm actually doing teacher training in Second Life rather than language teaching, but obviously I have spent time observing language classes and also thinking about them a little bit. I mean, there are all sorts of ways in which it could enhance language learning, but just before I start with that, I mean, there's an awful lot of informal language learning going on in Second Life, which seems to me to be extremely effective. The common language, or the majority language in Second Life, is obviously English at the moment. And there are plenty of people who are brushing up their language skills by just interacting with other people in Second Life on a daily basis. And I've been involved in quite a few little group conversations where three or four languages have been going around amongst the group at the same time, and people making efforts to translate and reformulate to various other members of the group if they're languages that they're not very familiar with. And in fact, I had a conversation exactly like that not so long ago, in which I managed to dredge up some very ancient Portuguese, and at the end of a couple of hours I actually felt like my Portuguese had got better. So one side of that, I think, is the possibilities for informal learning in an environment which younger people, and I would put anyone under 30 as a younger person, would be very excited by the medium and therefore have that motivation to actually stay there and interact with people.
You remind me of actually a very exciting, well, two very exciting experiences I had recently on Second Life. One, I'd come across actually on the list, the Second Life list, somebody had mentioned that the Church of Assisi had been opened that day, and I went along to it, and I was really gobsmacked by what a magnificent sight it was, and I told other people about it, and then we had one of those Monday meetings, sort of looking at places on the internet, run by Graham Stanley and others, though Graham wasn't there, and we went off to Assisi together, only about four or five of us, and we wandered around and bumped into a group of people who, not surprisingly, were Italian and spoke Italian. One of our group spoke Italian, chatted with them for a long time, told them who we were, etc., etc., and then came back and told us what they had been discussing, and then we found somewhere in the vault, just three of us, and returned to English and talked about the whole experience. I mean, I thought that was absolutely quintessential. That's real S-Life.
That's obviously
experience.
That's obviously a fantastic learning experience and a really rich set of interactions, which is something that often we struggle to achieve in the real life classroom for obvious reasons. I mean, I think in terms, I mean, there are a few things that contribute to the possible success of Second Life. I mean, these interactions are obviously very, very important, and this level of immersion, which perhaps you can't get in the classroom, especially if you're doing any work with role plays or situational dialogues, which can very easily be done in Second Life, because you can very easily build an airport or a cafe or a restaurant. The other one is the creative possibilities in terms of building and scripting objects that do things, and people being able to interact not only between each other or with external characters around the world, but also with these objects. And I think, I mean, my impression is that it's the creative side, this immersive side, which will win over a lot of younger users and actually make them go in there and learn. And I have plenty of Second Life contacts who are not native speakers of English who would claim that their English is improving just on a daily basis without the need for classes. So it may not be that we have to take people in there in class time. But obviously, if we do, it needs an awful lot of preparation, as any other class involving technology does.
Yeah.
And maybe that's where things are falling down a little bit now, is that most people don't have the training to use Second Life and haven't made that jump to the pedagogical side, if you like.
Yeah, I suppose definitely coming, or what needs to come, are courses on, you know, how to use Second Life for foreign language teaching. Perhaps some of them exist already, but the second experience I had, just in a way, these are all illustrating what can happen there on Second Life. It was I think the day or the day after when sound was sort of switched on to the main site, and I was, I can't quite remember his name, Kip Yellow Kip.
Yes. Kip Yellowjacket, who's involved with running the English Village.
That's right. I was sitting in one of his classes with just his pupils, students, and I said I wrote to them, you know, are you switched on to sound? And then several people wrote no, and then one fellow who was hovering above me said, yes, I am. And then turned out he was a Japanese student, and we talked, literally talked, for quite some time, sitting next to each other. And he said this was marvellous, you know, this was the first time he'd ever spoken with anybody on the internet, and how in Japan it's very difficult to get the chance to talk to native speakers, so on and so forth. The trouble is, in these moments, the two that I've mentioned, you know, of course I'd got, they were spontaneous, and therefore I couldn't record anything, or, you know, I could have taken a few pictures, but that wouldn't have shown much. There are lots of moments like those, I suspect, and my hunch is too that the pedagogy of teaching languages on SL, which is going to be learning languages on SL, and very possibly in these informal ways, when people might actually think they're doing something else, but they're actually picking up, you know, foreign language as well.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's an excellent point. The informal learning side of Second Life goes largely unnoticed, I think. But certainly, in my time in Second Life, I've learned an awful lot of things. I've improved my Portuguese a little bit. I've learned, as I do with the Webheads group, I've learned all sorts of technical skills which are basically outside of Second Life. But I've bumped into people, and I think my informal learning has been huge in Second Life. But I actually, what I wanted to just say, I mean, because you're presenting this at the BSIG conference, that one of the areas that strikes me as being absolutely ideal in for language learning in Second Life is the business area.
Yeah.
In the sense of things, for example, like giving presentations. We all know it's quite hard in a group of business English students to get people to stand up and give their presentation and have their critique. But I think it was Nick Peachy who's working on the business English course for Language Lab.
Yep.
He suggested that the once removed nature of Second Life, in the way that you're playing a character, might actually make things like the preparation and giving of presentations and the post-mortem on that presentation a less threatening situation, if you like, because really, in a sense, it's your avatar giving the presentation, not you.
Yeah.
And also there are lots of other opportunities in the business English area, chairing meetings, that kind of thing, minute taking, all sorts of things which could be very easily exploited in Second Life. You know, all you need is to build an office or build a conference hall, and away you go with all your learners. And I think that if I was on the BSIG side, I'd certainly be looking at the business English courses in Language Lab as an example of good practice.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, you remind me at the conference or workshop that you organised and I attended. Mention was made of some of the well-known international firms like Philips that use the internet, but for purposes that one might not immediately think of, like social interaction, really, you know, small talk at sherry parties and things like this. It is used, and this is actually picking up that big companies were using Second Life for all sorts of ways. This is where the idea for telling BC about Second Life if they didn't know about it, talking about it to them. That's where this idea came from. There really are a whole range of possibilities out there that might interest them particularly.
Absolutely. I went to a conference on Second Life in London run by the EduServe Foundation earlier this year, and there was a talk from a guy called Roo Reynolds, who works at IBM. In fact, his official title is he's IBM's Metaverse Evangelist. It's his job to look at these kind of tools. And they have an enormous presence in Second Life, which amounts to over 30 islands. And they do a lot of their creative work. They have creative teams spread around the world. They do a lot of their creative meetings and brainstorming in Second Life. And I think it's the presence that Second Life gives you over more traditional synchronous modes of communication like text chat, which is essentially a very flat and boring experience. And I think that's what helps them on the creativity side. And I know, for example, in our online teacher training courses, we're gradually taking the social side away from the virtual learning environment we use, which is Moodle. So we're getting away from text chat, and we're trying to get people into Second Life, because it's the fact of being physically, if you like, there with a collection of other people, and also being able to go off and do things together, field trips, and like your visit to the cathedral.
Which
gives it the edge over more traditional synchronous tools, I think. But the business side, I think, is very, very exciting.
This is all very exciting. What I find, perhaps I've just missed it, but I find it still very difficult to find anything like a directory of, you know, what is there on Second Life. Perhaps such things exist. Do you know of anything like that?
There are directories of educational resources and things, and I guess after this interview, rather than reading out addresses now, I'll send you a couple of links that I use regularly so that you can include them in the talk. But of course, I mean, it's worth remembering that these are very, very early days. You know, I mean, I think when I joined Second Life 18 months ago, it was 20-something thousand members. It's now 10 million, which is not really 10 million, but it's an awful lot more. But it has grown exponentially and very, very quickly. And so I think, in a way, we're all the educators, whatever discipline they're working in, are very much feeling their way and experimenting. And so I think it'll be a little bit of time before examples of best practice emerge and more places to visit come out. But there are some exciting things being done. I've just reviewed a chapter for a book, a chapter on Second Life, which includes some research into language learning, which was carried out in Germany. I can't go into more details because the book is unpublished, and I don't know whether the chapter will be in there. But it was an interesting study by somebody who had actually taken students in on a regular basis and engaged in some research as to how they felt it had gone and how the teacher himself felt it had gone. But it's early days. It's still very much the Wild West, and I think it will take some time. But I do think that in 5 years' time, the internet is going to look more like Second Life than it does the internet now. And so if we're committed to engaging with our learners, as Prensky would ask us to do, using their technology, then I think now's the time to get the skills, because if we look at it in 3 years' time, I think we're going to be too late.
Yeah, very interesting. Perhaps that sounds like some sort of closure. Do you, a flippant question to end with, do you think there is hope for me? Will I learn to walk properly in Second Life? Even today I fell into one of your moats.
You know that the Philip Rosedale, the owner of Linden Labs, reckons that it takes 20 hours of dedicated time to get the basics under your belt, if you like. Obviously, like any other tool, the more time you spend there, the easier it gets. But I think that the easiest way to get to grips with Second Life is to actually visit it with someone you know who already has those skills. And I'm sure, your flippant questions aside, you know, people find it difficult. It's not an easy environment to begin with, and so it does take some time. The problem obviously has been that people go and have a look, and after an hour it's too tricky for them, so they leave immediately and never go back. those of us who have stuck it out, like you, Dennis, for, and you've been there for quite some months now, I think there's hope for all of us, and probably hope for the people who have visited once and gone away. If we can get them back and engage with them on their level as educators and human beings, I think, you know, I think there's hope for us all.
I shall certainly be organising a few trips for friends.
Okay, well, yeah. Thank you for your time, and hello to everyone at the BSIG conference.
We'll do that.
And good luck with your talk.
Thank you very much indeed for everything, Kevin. We'll be in touch.
Okay, Dennis, take care. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.